What if your beliefs could lead to being cut off? Explore Romans 11, 13 through 23 and uncover the truth about faith, obedience, and the consequences and possibilities of disconnecting from God's covenant. Don't wait until it's too late. Discover how to secure your spiritual future today.
God's Resistance.
Thank you for tuning into God's Resistance. We're glad to have you with us here in the show. In this episode, we are continuing our look at the doctrine of once saved, always saved, and through a series of it. And I want to say at the get-go that just because somebody believes once saved, always saved, doesn't necessarily mean that those people all the time are looking for an excuse for sin. There are some that believe that, and there are some that do not believe that. However, I do believe that it is helpful for us to be looking into the scripture and to teach what the scripture is saying so that there may be a healthy understanding of what the gospel is and not allow the devil to gain a foothold. And that is our purpose here. Now, we are going to be looking at Romans 11, verses 13 through 23, and we will just start reading there at this time. For I speak to you who are Gentiles, since then as I am an apostle to Gentiles, I glorify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and may save some of them. For if the rejection of them is the reconciling of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. If the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the root and of the richness of the olive tree, don't boast over the branches. But if you boast, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. True, by their unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. For if God didn't spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. See then the goodness and severity of God. Toward those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. They also, if they don't continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So that is where we are. This is just a little chunk of this chapter. And so as we go through this, we do want to understand the context. And I would encourage any of you to read Romans chapter 11, probably starting Romans 9, 9, 10, and 11. If you read all those, you get the context of what Paul's talking about. But here's a crash context. Paul is talking about the Jews who were God's chosen people. Now, they were in unbelief. They did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. They rejected God. And Paul's point here is that he wants them to come back into a covenant relationship with God, that is, the new covenant. Now, the Jews were rejected by God because of their unbelief, and Paul wants them to come back, and so does God, and that's where we land now. So, when we look in verse 13, he says, "For I speak to you who are Gentiles, since then as I am an apostle to Gentiles, I glorify my ministry." So that's very important. He's talking to the Gentiles, and this sets us up to fully understand the thrust of Paul's warning. Paul was called specifically to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and he makes much of his calling to the Gentiles. And he says that, "I magnify and glorify my ministry." Why would he do that? Verse 14. "If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and may save some of them." So Paul magnified his office to the Gentiles as a means to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. He wants them to come back to God. He wants them to be saved. So he's using it as a means to the unbelieving Jews. And how are they going to be jealous by all this? It's by the covenant blessings. The covenant blessings that were supposed to be the Jewish people's blessings, which they had rejected, is now shining on the Gentiles, and they don't enjoy it, but the Gentiles are rejoicing in it. And Paul was looking for the salvation of his fellow Jews because they were God's chosen people did not make them saved. They still needed the Savior. They still needed the Messiah just the same. So in verse 15, he says, "For if the rejection of them is the reconciling of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead?" So here we're talking about the rejection of the Jews, and whose rejection? God is rejecting the Jews. And he is rejecting them because they at large rejected the new covenant through their Messiah. We see this in one of the parables, the wedding parable, the wedding feast, that is. And he says in that the Jews were supposed to be the people that were originally invited to this feast. They gave all these excuses as to why they were not going to go. And so they said, "We're not going." And then the king, who is making this wedding feast for his son, says, "Go out and find whoever you will, whether they be good or bad, in the highways and the hedges, find them all. I want my feast to be full." And that was talking about the Gentile nations. So the Jews rejected, and God then brought the Gentiles in. So this is why their rejection, that is why the Jews' rejection is the reconciling of the world, because then this gospel covenant, this new covenant, this relational covenant with God was now passed on to the Gentile nations instead of being in the container of the chosen people, the Jews. And the acceptance of the gospel by the Jews, he's saying, if it was the reconciling of the whole world when they were rejected, what will it be when they're accepted? It will literally be life from the dead. In other words, they are dead in trespasses and sin right now. And when they come to Christ in the new covenant, there will be such a rejoicing, such a blessing. They will receive life from the dead, and the world will even be blessed by that very thing. So then verse 16, if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, the Gentiles are an extension of the same root that the Jews were. We find that all the way in the Old Testament. You know, it was God's chosen people, the Jews. And now we find that the Gentiles are that extension of the root. In other words, they are part of this root now. And this is talking about holiness versus unrighteousness. So if the first fruit is holy, that is God's truth from the beginning that he deposited into the people, the Jewish people. If that first fruit is holy, then anything that's attached to it, the entire lump, the branches, all of it are holy rather than being unrighteous. So these Gentiles, that's you and I, if we're not Jewish, are grafted in. We partake of the same holiness, the same blessing that God was trying to put into his chosen people, right? And of course, they weren't always faithful to him. Now, in verse 17, he says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the root and of the richness of the olive tree, don't boast over the branches. But if you boast, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. Now, I know I did 17 and 18, but the branches broken off from the root, that is the rejecting, unbelieving Jews. It is evident here that they're no longer in this covenant relationship with God. They have been broken off. But then we talk about a grafting in, and that is the Gentiles. We're kind of the wild olive grafted in. And now we are attached to the holy root. They now get the richness. That's you and I, if we're Gentiles. We get the richness of the olive tree. We get the sap of life that comes from the vine. We now are receiving the blessings of God's covenant. Even though we weren't God's chosen people, the Jews, this was always God's intent from the beginning. His intent was that the entire world would be saved. The Jews were supposed to be the heralds of this gospel, and yet they were the ones that rejected it. But that didn't foil God's plans. Now he passes it on to the Gentiles. They are receiving the sap from the vine, the life of God inside of their souls. And that is primarily how the Jews would be jealous, according to Paul here. Now, the verse 18 said, don't boast over the branches, but if you boast, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on in our days now. One of the things is that I've looked on that Gab social network alternative that's supposed to have been a free speech platform, and I'm not denying that they allow free speech, but it's kind of like an echo chamber of bitter people, from what I've understood, and so much anti-Semitism there. Now, there may be things that we disagree about as far as eschatology and how the Jews fit into all these kind of, there may be all those disagreements. However, this verse should speak to any of those that would believe this. It says, don't boast over the branches, but if you boast, it's not you who support the root, but the root supports you. So you think you are better than they because you're rejoicing in the covenant blessing? Is that what's going on? What and who are you supported and connected by or to? The very root that they were attached to, and who God chose to be the container of his truth to the world, the Jews. We should have an attitude of thankfulness to the Jewish roots because it was through them that we are now partakers of the new covenant. When I say having a thankfulness for the Jewish roots, that doesn't mean that we have to go through the Jewish roots movement. We have to do all the festivals and all those kind of things. We simply just say, thank God he deposited this truth amongst the Jews. And even though they rejected him, thank God that gospel still came out to you and I as a Gentile, and we now can be blessings of it. We're not boasting against them and thinking that we're better than them. We may be better off than they are simply because we've heard the gospel, repented, and believed on Jesus, but we're not better than them. God still loves them. He loves the entire world. Then he says in verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And then verse 20, true. By their unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. So where did the disconnect happen? How did they get out of this covenant relationship? The Bible tells us it was their unbelief. Their unbelief disconnected them from the covenant. Then we ask the question, well, but where is the connection made? The connection is made by a true and present faith. Remember, he said, you stand by your faith. You stand by your faith, talking about the Gentiles. But then he gives the warning, don't be conceited, but fear. Why would he say that? Because I thought it was once in the covenant, always in the covenant. It doesn't seem to be that that's what Paul believes. He's saying you have the risk of being cut off from the covenant relationship of God, just like the Jews did. And so he's saying, do not be conceited, but fear. It's not a bondage, slavish fear, but it is the fear to walk with God and stay with him and not allow the world to choke out God's seed in us and us to end up forfeiting our covenant relationship with God. That's one thing I'd like to say, too. A lot of times the argument against people that would believe that you could lose your salvation is what you just kind of lose it. Oh, no, where my salvation go? That's not entirely accurate. The idea is it's a covenant relationship and you forfeit it. You don't hold up your side of the covenant. Therefore, you don't get the blessings of it. That's more accurately, I would say, is what I would believe the scriptures to teach instead of just losing it. Losing kind of gives a false idea of it. Anyway, back to the scriptures, verse 21, we read, "For if God didn't spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you." Now, that is the application right here. God didn't spare the natural branches, God's chosen people, that is the Jews. They were cut off because of their unbelief, and their unbelief led to disobedience. Their disobedience led to being severed from the root and ultimately the loss of their covenant relationship. And some people have thought that this scripture area right here was only just kind of talking about the Jews and just trying to keep the Gentiles in fear to live right and just kind of scare them straight, even though they wouldn't lose their eternal salvation. They wouldn't forfeit that covenant. But it's very clear that right here, he's warning the Gentiles to not repeat the actions of the Jews and reap the same fate. They were cut off from the covenant relationship. They were cut off from God's blessing and now salvation. God will not spare a Gentile or a Jew if they are in unbelief, if they turn their back on God. That's what's going on here. So he's applying it to the Gentiles and saying, you need to be walking close to me as well, because you could be in danger by turning your back on God just the same as they have. So verse 22, "See then the goodness and severity of God toward those who fell, severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off." Excuse me. So here is the sum, God's goodness and severity. So he says, see it. In other words, observe it. In other words, observe it. You can observe God's past actions. How did he act before? Now he says, those that fell, the Jews, because of their unbelief, had God's severity come down on them. They were cut off from the covenant. It wasn't just a loss of reward or simply just a more difficult life. They were cut off. That relationship ended. But then we find the goodness of God towards the believing Gentiles, or any believer, but in this case, the believing Gentiles. How? Here's the big condition. If you continue. So we realize salvation is conditional, even by this scripture verse here, and I believe this scripture is bared out in many other places. It's not that we are saved by our works. It is simply a condition of abiding in him. And if you call that works, then you almost have to go against what the scriptures say, and even what Jesus had taught at certain times. It's not works. We're trying to obey the law and then God will save us. It's walking with him so we can abide in his covenant. So he says, if it's conditional, if we continue in the faith, and the faith, according to the scriptures, is not only belief, but belief and obedience are two things that cannot be separated. It's not just an entrance or a past experience, but an ever-present life and reality. The covenant is yours as you keep your side of it. And he said, behold the goodness and severity of God. Otherwise, so if you do not continue in faith and obedience, you will be cut off. So where do you get obedience, you might ask? Faith without works is dead, the scriptures say. Jesus said, people will say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name and all this. And if we obey Jesus' sayings, he said that our house is like the one that's on the rock. But if we don't obey Jesus' sayings, our whole house falls. And how great is the fall? And I believe very simply, the fall into eternal death. So the Jews' fate is dire unless, verse 23, they also, if they don't continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Unbelief severed that connection, that unbelief of no faith and obedience to God. And that is the condition for being in a covenant relationship with God through Christ. He said he is able to then graft them in again. So that's hope for the backslider. So here, I hope you find out here, dear listener, that there is a great danger of us losing that covenant relationship with God. And all of this hinges on, do I believe on him and continually do it? Is it a present reality? Am I believing and having faith in him? How about you, dear listener? If you've enjoyed this broadcast, then I would ask for you to visit www.godsresistance.com for more information. Like our video, subscribe, comment in the section below, get a conversation going, and we will see you on the other end. Or-